Wednesday afternoon, it's the final 24 minutes of the broadcast here. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show. I am he is me, and Sam Callio is our producer this afternoon. We're going to hear from the opposition leader in a few moments about that announcement that happened, about 3 hours ago. The opposition offering its plan forward to help with long-term care moving forward and past COVID-19. Well, in that vein, calling all QP long-term care members, an invitation to participate in a research study. This was circulated among members of the Canadian Union of Public Employees, and it's a study, a research project entitled The Work Culture of Nursing Homes in Nova Scotia, a Qualitative Study. And here is a voice that's very familiar to longtime listeners of News 95.7. And Peter Tuig is a professor in the History Department at St. Mary's University, and it's been a while since we had him join us on the broadcast. Peter, thank you very much for being available.
I am so happy to be with you, Sheldon. I'm always glad to have the time to speak to your listeners and to you.
Well, this is an interesting study, given the time that we live in. And Peter Tuig, how have you coped through COVID-19?
Well, you know, working at a university, the first thing I have to say is I'm lucky, as is my partner. We both, she works in healthcare, so we're not facing the economic uncertainty that so many people are. I've been able to transition to work from home. But of course, you know, at the university, one of the challenges we have was shutting down a term, switching to a virtual operations mode at the end of the winter term, and then planning for a fall term with so much uncertainty. But, you know, I think St. Mary's University and other universities in the region and across Canada have responded and are trying to do their best under very, very difficult circumstances. So one thing I'm confident of, in the Faculty of Arts and across St. Mary's is, you know, we're going to provide a real quality experience for students, even in this technologically mediated environment that we're going to embark on in the fall. So it's been challenging, but, you know, knock on wood, I count my blessings rather than complain about my circumstances.
Peter Tuig, professor in the History Department at St. Mary's University, here with us. If you are interested in taking part in this study, you're asking for members of QP. Why that group in particular are you interested in hearing from?
Yeah, it was a strategic decision on my part, and I realized that, you know, there are five healthcare unions across the province that represent LPNs, but, you know, I thought in this first go-round, I was primarily interested in working with a single union, so I reached out to QP as the largest of the unions that represent LPNs, and I received a great response from Nan McFadgen, the president of QP. She herself is an LPN. You know, I've been working on the history of LPNs and of how we organize healthcare in Canada for a long time. I published a series of articles on LPNs and nursing assistants and in other jurisdictions. I just had one that came out last week that deals with British Columbia. And so this is something that burns near and dear to my heart. My father was also, you know, a decade ago, spent his final years at Northwood. And, you know, so I have a sense of long-term care, of the significance of long-term care. And I also, as a historian who studies, you know, the organization of healthcare in Canada, I know that some of the issues that were revealed during COVID-19 were long-standing issues within long-term care. You know, I think COVID brought them into focus for many people, but workers, residents, and their families were fully aware of many of the issues in long-term care settings in Nova Scotia and across Canada.
Peter Tuig, how do you do a qualitative study on something that will be capturing the oral, perhaps, history, or I guess another way would do it, the anecdotes and the stories of people who've just lived through this pandemic as an LPN?
Yeah, and I think it's really important to do that. So, you know, one of the techniques we have is to document the experience of frontline workers. And I know that there's a lot of studies being done about COVID and about various aspects of that moment of our history, but very few of them are focusing on the frontline experiences of healthcare workers. And, you know, I think we need to tell those stories. We need to tell the stories of the continuing care assistants and of the LPNs. you know, a lot of my work has been trying to recapture that history. We know that, you know, the vast majority of these workers are women. Many of them come from racialized backgrounds or are, in fact, recent immigrants. And I think that because of that, they look different from other kinds of healthcare providers in Canada, in Nova Scotia. And we should be telling their stories. I think some of them are positive stories. You know, we're bringing new people to the province. I think that's a wonderful thing for a province like Nova Scotia with its aging population. But I also think we just need to have more stories about regular working people, not the sort of, you know, the physicians or the registered nurses who are in control of the professional bodies across Nova Scotia, but rather just frontline people. And so I'm really committed to telling those stories. You know, my hope is that I will be able to interview, you know, 40 to 50 LPNs and CCAs who work in long-term care and really tell those stories in a comprehensive way. I've done a lot of oral histories with healthcare workers over my career. You know, I did two books, one on nurses, one on lab techs. Both of those books used oral history as a significant part of my research, and I'm really looking forward to getting back to this kind of work in this project.
Part of my job is, when I bring a guest on, is to think about what ultimately the question is that I'm trying to get at, and I'm sure that's what your study is all about. Do you have any preconceived notions about what this might bring you?
Yeah, I mean, I always have preconceived notions. It's hard not to, because I've been studying, you know, healthcare for the, you know, almost a quarter of a century now, writing books and articles on this topic. So yeah, I have a lot of preconceived notions. My responsibility as a researcher is to compartmentalize that and to allow the voices of the workers to come through. So my particular interest here is sort of the day-to-day stuff. You know, like, we know what the regulations say or what policy says, but one of the things I'm curious about is, okay, we know what the policies say, but how do things actually get done, right? So in that sense, I'm interested in how people, you know, sort of work with the policies or work with the shortages that they are encountering and still manage to get the work done. So I'm really interested in hearing those stories. One of the things we know about long-term care is that many of the facilities experience frequent understaffing. So, you know, it's great to have staffing ratios and all of those things. You know, that's what the policies say we need. But on a given day, in a long-term care facility or in an emergency room or in many other settings in healthcare, you know, people are off sick, people don't show up to work. So how does the work still get done? What kind of accommodations get made? And how do people help one another, you know, within their scope of practice to ensure the safety and security of patients and of workers? And those are the stories that I'm really interested in hearing in this research.
All right. Well, we know that obviously QPE in Nova Scotia has put out a way for people to get in touch with you and Peter. We'll leave it at that. And I'm sure that they'll find a way to get to you and share those stories. And I'll be very interested in hearing back from you on what you learn through this process.
Well, I'll make sure I keep you updated, Sheldon, and I'm so thankful that you took the time to reach out to me so that I could tell people a little bit about this project.
All right. Peter Tuig, all the best to you, sir. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Same to you. Take care.
He is a professor in the Department of History at St. Mary's University, working on his research project, The Work Culture of Nursing Homes in Nova Scotia, a qualitative study. And again, QP members can get in touch with him through your union representation. When we get back in just a second, there's a brand new web portal. If you've not seen it yet, you should log into it. Dignity for Our Seniors. And again, it was quoting Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. There was a letter written to the Prime Minister from Tim Houston. We're going to talk to the leader of the official opposition. Tim Houston is our guest. He's on the line. We'll be with him in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. All right, the final few moments of our afternoon show here. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show on News 95.7. Sam Callio helping us out as producer. The Progressive Conservatives held a news event earlier today. In fact, the leader of the official opposition joins the conversation. Tim Houston is on the line with us. Good day to you, Tim.
Good afternoon, Sheldon. Thanks for having me.
Dignity for Our Seniors. You brought forward this quote from the Prime Minister, who said this is a provincial responsibility. So it is to them that have failed to support our seniors. Tell me a little bit about what brought you to making the pledge for 2,000 healthcare workers and hundreds of million dollars of spending for long-term care facilities.
Yeah, well, dignity is what brought us there for sure. I mean, most Nova Scotians now know what Northwood is, and we probably wouldn't have been able to say that just a few short months ago. So I think what's happened with COVID-19 and the whole experience of my mom always says that nothing is so bad that something good doesn't come of it, but sometimes you got to look hard for it. But I'd say COVID really shone the light on how we treat our seniors, how we treat our children in many ways as well. But those are two areas that people are starting to look at. And I think when we really look at what's been happening in long-term care, we have a lot to be ashamed of. And I know that the government over the last 7 years under the Liberal government, and even before that with the NDP, very little investment in long-term care, and the budgets for seniors that were really cut year after year after by Stephen McNeil. So there's been a bill that's been accruing. You know, government's been looking the other way, pretending it hasn't been sitting there, but it's been sitting on the table the whole time, and now it's time to acknowledge we have to invest in how we treat our seniors, and by doing that we can improve their quality of life, the people who care for them's quality of life, probably reduce some burden on the primary healthcare system, acute care system. So really there's a lot that has to be done. We haven't had any new long-term care rooms opened up in the whole time under this government. They have a late waiting list of 1,400 people, and even if you got those in the rooms we have now, there's not enough single rooms. So what we're saying is we're not going to look away from the challenge that is before us. We accept the challenge. The challenge has to be met, and we have to do that by opening up new rooms, opening up new single rooms, and by staffing the organizations appropriately. But also, we have a tsunami coming with us. We have somewhere in the range of 8,000 long-term care beds in Nova Scotia right now. In 10 years, that could be 20,000. So we can't just keep chasing this. We also have to look at different levels of care, and we announced that today as well.
We've got Tim Houston on the line. Some have made some mention of the money, the numbers, new bed construction, $652 million. We're talking $1 billion here, Tim. How do you sell this to Nova Scotians? And I know that's a crass way of looking at it, but we know that there's been an austerity bent towards government in this province for a long time.
Yeah, I think you have two parts to the cost, right? And I welcome the discussion about the cost. As an accountant, that's near and dear to me as well. But you have the capital cost, the investments in actual building and infrastructure, and then you have the annual operating costs, particularly around staff. So it's a big number. But here's what I say to those people: like, what's the cost of somebody being assessed as needing long-term care but not getting it and doing without? There's a big burden on our healthcare system when they end up with more acute conditions and end up in the healthcare system. What's the cost of a family member having to quit their job and no longer contribute to the economy because they have to look after their loved one because the care is not there? Or what's the cost to our society of somebody working just to earn enough money to pay for their care of their loved one and not their own, you know, their own kind of needs? But overlaying all of that, the thing that has really, really driven me on this, what's the cost of shutting down the entire Nova Scotia economy for an extra 3, 4, 5 weeks and locking us all in our homes because of the terrible tragedy that was unfolding at Northwood? We stayed in our homes for weeks on end because of the situation at Northwood. And that situation was driven by government mismanagement over a number of years. So look, this is a bill that's been long since due, and Premier McNeil can walk out of the room and pretend, well, wasn't that cheap? I didn't have to pay for anything, but the bill was still sitting on the table, and it's got to be paid. And I'm just saying, I recognize that has to be paid. We have to invest in Nova Scotians. Somebody has to be willing to do it. And as Premier, I'll be willing to do it.
Tim Houston here with us on the line. Tim, this document, this dignity for our seniors, does it address the issue of governance? The reason I bring this to the conversation is our very first guest today, Michelle Lowe with the Nursing Homes of Nova Scotia Association. We brought up an email I had received from someone. that not all long-term care facilities have the same capacity to allow people to spend time with their loved ones, and that because of differing abilities to bring all of these safety protocols in place, some people are feeling very much like they're being kept apart, and it's hard for them to rationalize or figure out why it's different in every home. Are you in any ways in this document providing some recommendations on governance of nursing homes for long-term care?
Yeah, well, I think that specific issue, and I did attend a protest yesterday where it's these stories are heartbreaking, Sheldon. I mean, you look somebody in the eye about their difficulty in seeing their loved one, and different properties have different rules because they have different abilities and different governance, as you say, but different staffing. So certainly in here, what we've laid out today is a document that we did a lot of homework on that talks about new beds, talks about new single rooms, talks about more staffing, and talks about a new level of care. But really, what that document is meant to signify to Nova Scotians is my commitment to partner with Nova Scotians to make sure we get this right. So the governance at the properties would be part of it for sure. The compensation paid to the healthcare workers, those are discussions that all have to happen. But somebody asked me, well, why would you do this now? Why wouldn't you wait till after this Northwood quote unquote review, which obviously everyone knows should be an inquiry, because these things are obvious. It's obvious that when you don't open a single nursing home bed for 7 years, that there's a need for more nursing home beds, especially with an aging population. That's so obvious. It's obvious that there's more support needed for the staff. And that's showing up in a number of ways. And one of them is exactly what you say, like when the premier goes on with Dr. Strang and has a 3 o'clock press conference and drops something out there, you can now go see your loved ones at the nursing home without talking to the nursing home properties, without talking to the administration and staff to know what their capabilities are to staff those types of visits. These are when difficulties start. So for me, it's like I want to send a message that, look, we're here to work with Nova Scotians to address the fundamental challenges that this province faces. We can ignore them or we can face them. There's fundamental challenges before us, and what I want to do is look those challenges straight on and address them, and that's what I'm willing to do.
This letter to the Prime Minister was written almost 2 weeks ago. I was going to ask you, how do you pay for this? Are you asking the federal government to pay for this plan?
The federal government absolutely has a role to play, and the Prime Minister has been very clear that long-term care is the domain of the province. He's also been very clear that the provinces have failed, and nowhere is that more true than in Nova Scotia, where we've had a Liberal government that's cut the budgets year after year and really just left seniors behind. They actually took it off their priorities. They used to have five priorities, and they just dropped it right off, and I think that showed up in all of their actions since then. But the Prime Minister has been very clear that the provinces have failed. Also been very clear that the federal government wants to partner with those provinces that have good ideas. So we wrote to them. We put some ideas forward. We costed them all out and gave them all the details that we think that they would need to assess, because we can't miss this opportunity. If the federal government has funding there, we can't miss this opportunity. We can't afford to. So I've written to him. I haven't heard back yet, but I think he's been preoccupied with some stuff from what I could see on the news.
We could say that, and I meant that on purpose. Tim Houston, we will leave it at that for today, though. I want to thank you for being available. And again, when you hear from the Prime Minister, let us know, will you?
Yeah, and until then, from our side, we were happy to have that discussion. Thank you.
Tim Houston, take care, sir.
Take care.
The leader of Nova Scotia's Progressive Conservative Party, the Pictou East MLA, that is Tim Houston, helping us finish off today's show. And I've got 1, 2, 3, I got way too many tabs open, so I had lots on my mind here today and lots on my computer, and lots of help from Sam Callio. So thank you for that, Sam. I really do appreciate that. All News Afternoon comes your way next, and that will be Dan Allstrand and Sky Bridenblum. Tomorrow's show, just a quick peek, a look ahead of tomorrow's. I don't know if we'll hear from the Minister of Education. I did put it in an ask. I have a request for the comms people, so we'll hope that the Minister can join us to share with us his thoughts as to this letter that went out to teachers, all of the teachers across the province from the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. We'll also talk a little bit about, there's a story about conspiracy theories and COVID-19. We're going to dig into that. Not that I talk a lot about conspiracy theories, but we'll talk about that with Howard Ramos. We'll talk about getting your money back if you had flights canceled because of COVID-19. And we'll talk about jury duty. That's all still to come. Thanks again, Sam, and thank you guys for tuning us in. Stay locked to News 95.7 to keep you in the know. We'll be right back tomorrow at 12:30.